All right, good evening, everyone. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor for allowing me to come and share the word tonight. And continue to pray for our pastor. He's doing great. We were able to see him all week and everything. And they were just having a little photo shoot this morning with a basketball team. And that was a lot of fun, and seeing all those hype videos that they're going to make. You'll see it in due time. But just sort of in the team at team, what do you call it? You know the thing. That's what I'm feeling tonight. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll just go straight into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." For the body is not one member, but many. The title of this message is, "We is one body, the church." And forgive me for the ghetto lingo. My wife grew up in Pontiac, which is a little Detroit, and so some of that has rubbed off on me. So, we is one body. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you can, that you've given us the freedoms and also the ability to come together as a church, assembled as one body. And we thank you, Lord, that we can open up your word and we can dive into it and we can learn from it and live it. And we thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, right now that you'd fill me with thy spirit. I pray that you would give me clarity of mind. I pray, Lord, that you would just give me the words to speak tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the human body is so interesting, and it never stops to intrigue me. Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Some more fearfully than wonderfully. And Brother Phil's not here for me to pick on him. Where is he? Anyway, did you know the brain is much more active at night than during the day? Do you know facial hair grows faster? Not my facial hair, but facial hair grows faster than any other hair on the body. In fact, if the average man never shaved his beard, it would grow to over 30 feet during his lifetime, longer than a killer whale. Okay, so any takers? The surface area of a human lung is equal to a tennis court. In order to more efficiently oxygenate the blood, the lungs are filled with thousands of branching bronchi and tiny grape-like alveoli. These are filled with microscopic capillaries filled with oxygen and carbon dioxide. A large amount of surface area makes it easier for the exchange to take place and make sure you stay properly oxygenated at all times. Okay, so your human lung, tennis court, if you need one. Feet have 500,000 sweat glands, and if you want to count them, and can produce more than a pint, I don't know what that is, of sweat a day. That's a lot. With that kind of sweat-producing power, it's no wonder that your gym shoes have a stench that can peel paint. Additionally, men usually have much more active sweat glands than women. I'm not sure if that's true. This was on the internet, so I don't know. Next, did you know if saliva cannot dissolve something, you cannot taste it? In order for foods or anything else to have taste, chemicals from the substance must be dissolved by saliva. If you don't believe it, try drying off your tongue before tasting something. Okay, give that a try. Your eyes are always the same size from birth, but your nose and ears never stop growing. That's evident in some people. When babies look up at you with those big eyes, they're the same size that they'll be carrying around in their bodies for the rest of their lives. Their ears and nose, however, will grow throughout their lives, and research has shown that growth peaks in 7-year cycles. Did you know that we're about a centimeter taller in the morning than in the evening? So in the morning, I'm 4 foot something. In the evening, I'm 5 foot. The cartilage between our bones gets compressed by standing, sitting, and other daily activities as the day goes on, making us just a little shorter at the end of the day than at the beginning. Your body has enough iron in it to make a nail 3 inches long. Anyone who has ever tasted blood knows that it has a slightly metallic taste. This is due to the high levels of iron in the blood. If you were to take all of this iron out of the body, you'd have enough to make a small nail and very severe anemia. Did you know it is not possible to tickle yourself? Even the most ticklish among us do not have the ability to tickle ourselves. The reason behind this is that your brain predicts the tickle from information it already has, like how your fingers are moving. Because it knows and can feel where the tickle is coming from, your brain doesn't respond in the same way as it would if someone else was doing the tickling. I'm just checking. All right, so the body, the human body, is so amazing. There are many more interesting facts about the human body, and it comes to show that God really did make us fearfully and wonderfully, okay? Now, there are 13 major organs in the human body. There are 78 organs in total, and the human body is made up of 100 trillion cells, okay? The human body is a masterful creation designed by the greatest designer and creator of all time, God, okay? Now, we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God likens the church, okay? The church isn't the building. The church is us. We are the church, the people of the church. And God likens the church to the human body. We are the body called the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I'm going to give you a few statements. Firstly, the human body is made up of many different parts of members. We have the eyes, the ears, the hair, some of you, the mouth, the shoulders, knees and toes. And we've got all this, we're all made up of all these different members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. As your body is made up of many parts, the church body is also made up of many parts. Each of us together, okay, make up the body of Good Shepherd Baptist Church." Next. The human body is made up of parts that have different functions. As you know, your ears, they hear, your eyes see, your tongue, they taste, and it talks, your fingers, they touch, our feet, they smell, they walk. And they do have many functions, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Romans 12, 6 to 8 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So the church is made up of members that have different gifts. There are some that can preach. There are some that can teach. There are some that can sing. There are some that can clean. There are some that can build. There are some that can warm up you. We all have different gifts. We all have different functions, okay? Next, the human body has parts that may have functions that are of utmost importance. Without it, you wouldn't survive, such as your heart or your brain. Some don't have brains, but yet they still function. But our stomach, okay? We need our stomach, right? There are some organs that are vital. We need those things, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 5 to 6 says, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all." Romans 12, 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Okay, so the church is made up of some offices that are very, very important, okay? Number three. Next, our church has different offices that are very important. In our church, we have some pretty offices. Again, talking about the pastor, deacons, treasurer, Sunday school teachers, such as those. And the parts in our body are all, for the most part, different from each other, but they are still part of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 15 through 20 says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Okay, so unless you're an AI-generated person, you're not made up of just ears or just eyes. Okay, you don't have six fingers on each hand. Okay, we are made up of many different parts of the body. Next, even though you may be different from somebody else in the church, actually, we're all different from each other, right? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You are still part of this church body. Some parts of the body may seem insignificant or unimportant, but they actually serve a purpose. Everything in our body serves a purpose. Even the appendix serves a purpose. We don't know what that is yet, but it does, okay? Everything has its place. Everything has its function, okay? And God has a reason why he put those things in our body. He has a reason. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 to 23 says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." You may not be the pastor. You may not be the deacon. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. You may not be something or someone that we may consider of importance, but you are still part of the body of the church, and everybody serves an important role in the church. Okay? Are you all understanding? Next, sometimes, this is, I'm getting somewhere, so just follow on, okay? Don't nod off yet, okay, Pastor Phil. Sometimes we take for granted the little parts and members of our body. A few weeks ago, we were on a PNG trip. I received some scratches, just walking through the bush or something. And the flies they thought my legs were a buffet, and they went to town on my legs. And my legs got infected. They started turning colors, okay? And they got infected. And there were some things that were difficult to do because it was infected and it started getting worse and worse, even just walking. And sometimes I take for granted just my legs. Doesn't matter how little they are, but they are my legs, okay? And I take for granted those things. What about our finger, right? Sometimes we take for granted even just one finger because, well, we have many of them, right? And again, if you're an AI-generated person, you've got six on one hand, okay? And we think, well, I can do without a finger. I'm all right. Sometimes we take that for granted. Who's ever had mouth ulcers? Who's ever had an ulcer in their mouth? Those are the worst, right? And just a little, I don't know if you would consider them as, it's not a boil, is it? It's just an opening, right? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Someone's talking to me. But the ulcer, the pain that it causes, just a little sore can really hurt, right? And it hurts to talk, it hurts to brush your teeth, and the worst of all, it hurts to eat, right? And then you lose weight, and maybe you're thinking I ought to have mouth ulcers more often, but just that little sore. It's like, it's excruciating. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, 25. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered," or mixed together, or unified, "the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Okay? So we know that there are some parts of our body that we might consider, well, I could do without those, okay? I could do without a finger, I could do without one strand of hair, whatever, okay? But let's not take for granted in our church the people that may seem weak, that may seem feeble, or that may seem unimportant. Let's not take them for granted. God put them here for a reason. We need to give them the same care as we do ourselves or everybody else, okay? Now, my tongue is such a small body part, But when it suffers, it's almost like the whole body suffers. Amen? Sometimes when I get an ulcer, man, it's like I've got a man cold. And I'm at home and I'm in bed and I need every care from my wife. I need to be sent to the ER. That's how I feel anyway. And but man, what it does to my whole body, it makes my whole body suffer. Now, as a church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, it says this: "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." My next point is this, and I want us to get this. Just as your whole body suffers, when one body part suffers, the whole church ought to suffer when one of us suffers. God expects each of us to take care of each other. When we see someone suffering, when we see someone struggling, that ought to affect us. When we see somebody who's in pain health-wise, whether it be spiritually or even financially, that ought to affect us and think, as a whole body, as a church, that ought to, for us, it ought to make us think, man, I hurt for them. I hurt for them. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Maybe it was today. Where's Brother Jim? Anyway, what's your first reaction, okay? What's your first reaction when you stub your toe? I mean, do you stomp on it and say, stinking toe, why don't you just function properly? Why did you stub yourself? Do you stomp on it and make it even worse? I don't think so. If you bend your finger, you dislocate your finger, do you do more damage to it and grab a hammer and start hammering it and say, man, why did you not see that wall? Okay, did you have to run into it? Did you have to get dislocated? We don't do that in our body, do we? And if you do, you might need help. But we don't do that with our body, okay? And as a church, we ought not to do that when one person suffers. That is a member of the church. We ought to think, man, we gotta stop and take care of them. We gotta see what's wrong and how can we fix it? You know, at the same time, when a part of the body gets cured now, my whole body rejoices. It's only this past few days that my legs is starting to look normal now. Well, it's not going to look normal for a while, but there's no more redness, there's no more scars, and it's starting to look good. And I'm feeling happy, and I feel like running. I'm not going to, but I feel happier. I rejoice because my leg's fine now. When my tongue, my ulcer gets healed, I'm happy. I can speak. Amen. I can eat, and I rejoice with it. And I'm just rejoicing. You know, the Bible says here, 1 Corinthians 12, 26b, it says, "All one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." You know, that's how it ought to be in the church. When someone gets honored or praised, let's rejoice with them. When we see somebody doing great things, let's not say, "Man, oh, that guy's just—he doesn't mean well. He's just doing it for his own glory." Or we start thinking ill will about another person. Or when somebody is doing just trying to serve the Lord, "Man, oh, he's just a faker. He's just." And we don't want him to be praised. We don't want her to be praised. But the Bible tells us that when one is honored, when one member is honored, hey, all the members ought to rejoice with it. When somebody sees a soul saved, hey, man, we ought to rejoice and not say, "Man, what a show off. I wish I got somebody saved." Or when somebody does something great in the church, somebody plays a piano for the first time, and we ought to rejoice and say, "Man, he did a great job." Man, we ought to rejoice when somebody is honored. When somebody gets better, we ought to say, "Man, let's rejoice in that. Isn't that an awesome thing? Let's rejoice in somebody reading their Bible through. Oh, I've read my Bible 70 times." No, let's rejoice with them, wherever they're at. Let's rejoice as a church, and let's just rejoice with them. The human body is made by God to function exactly the way God intended to. Every part, every cell, all working together to make the body function at its optimal strength, okay? Our whole body works best when all the parts are functioning the way they should. In verse 24, if you remember that, it says, "But God hath tempered," okay, or mixed together or united the body together. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Man, can you imagine what we could do as a church if we all functioned together? If we all work together, if one suffers and we say, "Man, well, let's help that person now." Or when somebody achieves something, we say, "Man, let's rejoice with them. Let's be happy for them." God has put us all together for a purpose. You know, you probably don't need your feet, but you do better with them, right? You could probably do without an eye, but man, how awesome it is to have two eyes, right? I mean, you could do without a nose or hands, but your body would be more effective when they are there and they are all working together. You know, as a church, as one body, as one unit, we ought to strive to make sure that those who suffer or those who are afflicted, we are helping them to get better or to get to the point where they ought to be. And when something happens and something great happens, we ought to rejoice with them. And as a church, as we work together, we can work at our most optimal strength. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome as a church we're moving forward because everything is just sort of working as it should as one body? You might be here thinking, "Well, I don't belong here." You might be here saying, "Well, I'm not important enough. I don't do this and that, I'm not so-and-so, well, I can't teach, I can't sing like that, I can't preach, I can't do this, I can't play the piano, I can't do that." And maybe you think the church would be better without you. I want to tell you this, the church will suffer if you suffer. The church won't be the same without you. The church won't function as well without you. I understand the Lord moves people to different locations, different paths, and perhaps, to a different church. Or sometimes the Lord removes people from the body because they're starting to destroy the body. But as long as you're here, let me tell you that you are important. Doesn't matter what you do, whether you're cleaning, whether you're teaching the kids, whether you're singing or playing the guitar, or you're in the sound room, or you preach, or you teach, or you make coffee, or so many things. There's so many things that people do in our church, and you might think, "Well, I'm not that important as so-and-so." I want to tell you this, you are important. You are what makes up Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And as long as you're here and we're all working together, we can do something great for God. Wouldn't that be great as a church, as Good Shepherd Baptist Church? And to close, let me ask you these questions, okay? What is your gift? Do you have a gift that God has given you? Can you teach? Can you sing? Can you clean? Can you build? Can you put a toilet together? Can you wire up some wires? I don't know what it is, but do you have a gift that God has given you? What is your talent? Okay. What is your skill? Can you be an encouragement? Okay. The next question is this: are you using your gift as part of Good Shepherd Baptist Church? You know, everyone can do something. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it be cleaning out gutters or shining shoes. Wouldn't that be great? Who knows how to shine shoes? Nobody. Oh, that's terrible. But it doesn't matter what we do, what you do, and what gift God has given you, God can use that. And as you use your gifts and talents for the Lord, it's limitless to what God can do through Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Next question is this: are we caring for one another as we should? Do you see someone struggling and you see it in the face? And by the way, church is not a museum for ancient relics, okay, or things done in the past and all that. It's a hospital for sinners. It's a place where somebody who is hurt can come to and find healing through the scriptures, find encouragement when they're down. Are we caring for one another? Are you praying for them? Are we doing what we can to help them? Do you see potential in someone? Do you see someone who could do something in the church that might, you know, that would be good for the church? Do you help them to reach that potential, or do you constantly bring them down? Are we lifting them up? Are we rejoicing when another is promoted or honored or lifted up? Church, we will function at its optimal strength when everybody is doing their part in the body called the church. Do you love your church, folks? I love the church. I love Good Shepherd Baptist Church. For me personally, knowing how much this church has done for me, even in the past, and even without that reason, just as a church, as God, as Christ loved the church, we ought to love the church. And we ought to do the best we can to make our church function at its optimal strength. We is one body. We is one body. Again, I enjoyed watching our school do their hype video. They were taking photos and some pretty serious photos. Just wait till you see them. I see Aspen there. She's all turning red, just like when we're doing. And at the end, they were doing a hype video. Sorry, my voice is gone. I think God's telling me you need to shut up now. They did a hype video. And at the end, they went, "Let's go, Warriors. Let's go, Warriors." And I love that. I love that team spirit for a basketball game, for a basketball game. How about let me say, "Let's go, Good Shepherd." And you might say, "Well, that's corny." It is corny. But hey, let's have that spirit where we say, you know what, we're a team. We're one body. We are together. Hey, I'm going to hurt for you if you're hurting. I'm going to rejoice with you if you're rejoicing. I'm going to help you if I can. I'm going to do what I can in this body to allow it to continue moving forward or doing the best it can. I'm going to give my talents to Christ. I'm going to do what I can. Man, I am part of this. And man, if you're here tonight and you're like, man, I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I do nothing in this church. Hey, find something and do that for Christ. And just belong in our church, and let's just keep, hey, there's God again, just tell him to be quiet. And let's just go, Good Shepherd. Let's go, let's do it. Let's, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this time, Lord, as a church. Thank you, Lord, for giving the people, Lord, that you've allowed us to have in the church. Lord, sometimes we don't take care of each other as we should. Sometimes we don't rejoice with each other as we should. Sometimes we're not giving of ourselves as we should. And I pray tonight that this would be a reminder for all of us that we belong as Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And we have a place in this church. And help us, Lord, to do the best we can, Lord, to glorify you in our bodies, to do the best we can, Lord. Help us to love one another. Help us to pray for one another. And help us to help one another, Lord. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.